Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walked in town on silver spurs that jingled too. A song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine. Ooh, summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer
gotta bring it down. I screwed up on the timing of that one. Damn. Summer Wine from Nancy and Lee. Summer Wine. Larry Seven, Clocks Bells, Grupo NPS, Remy Cuvée, Gutrun Gut und Herm. Ermler. Gut und Ermler. I gotta go. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. See you next week. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition.
To Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we visit together and we explore ideas as we listen. Oh, we listen carefully. What are we hearing? We're using our ears to navigate the world and to connect with one another. We're sort of rubbing ears. A clean mind, just so if you're worried about that, they're clean ears that they're rubbing. Oh, bless you.
Beer. Boo-voo. Fooms beer. Boo-voo-roo. Fooms boo-voo. Boo-varata. Fooms bavarata. Bava. Boo-varata. Say. Fooms bavarate. Say. Bavarate. Say. Ooh. Fooms bavarate. Say. Ooh. Fooms bavarate. Say. Beer. Beer. Fooms bavarate. Say. Ooh. Beer. Bavarate urperger, fums bavarate urperger, bavarate urpergif, fums bavarate urpergif, quee, ratagarendaga.
Rataka rentaka. Beeber from Berber. From Zbubara. Oh my goodness. Oh, what is that craziness? Well, it's WFMU, so it's either art or someone's mocking you. Oh my goodness, it can be both. That, my friends, is a cover of the famous sound poem or sonata by the early mid-20th century surrealist artist Cork Schwitters, who worked in the medium of collage, but also he did this crazy sound poem. And this is a cover of it. Now, he called it a primitive sonata, and it is, because it's making all sorts of primitive sounds, like our ancestors didn't have words. They would just make silly sounds to each other and make each other laugh and all. And I guess that's how they got food. Say, Ugg would come up to Og and go, "That's your food." And then they'd take care of one another like that. So all language of communication was initially just used for comedy. And then I get it involved in other things like, so, you know, because you'd have to, it'd be hard telling somebody their loved one died in the form of a joke. Everything had to be done in a formal form of a joke. So, you know, did you hear the one about your mother-in-law? I go, what happened? So, you know, it got harder and harder to get the laugh. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about sonatas. Isn't that crazy? You thought it'd be something deeper. No. I like to work in the sonata form a lot. Explain it to me. Well, I would, except that I really break all the rules. So that's really strange, saying, well, I like to work in this strict form of, I like to do limericks. Well, give me a demonstration of one of your limericks. Okay. There once was this cup sitting on a shelf. It was a lovely, lovely cup. And I looked at it for inspiration and go, wait. That's not a limerick. And I go, well, it kind of starts like one. And then, goes off in another direction. Now, that's a familiar thing to me because I remember when the musical Jesus Christ Superstar stole one of my songs. And I won't do their version, but my song went, "See my eyes, I can hardly see my eyes, 'cause they're in my head, and I use them for seeing ahead," like that. And then they took it and made it something. And that was never in my version. My version wasn't hard rock. Wasn't meant for that. It was meant to be sort of a metaphor. So how do I use my eyes to see my eyes? How do I use my brain to think about my brain? How do I philosophize about philosophy without being recursive? Is everything just a house of fun mirrors? Now, this reminds me, before I talk more about sonata and my style of radio, because I'd love to draw attention to what I'm doing. I'd be the kind of magician and say, this is just going to be a lesson in how to do a magic trick. And I feel more comfortable that way, because when I'm deceiving you, when I'm hiding something from you, I get no pleasure in that. You know what I'm saying? It's like lying on your dating profile. That doesn't do anything. I saw that. That nude you sent me, you know, it was photoshopped. And you go, all right, well, take off your shirt. No, because it's a lie. It's built on a lie. So I don't want to do that. And so I try not to. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been lying the whole time. I must be honest with you. So, yes, is it about see my eyes, like that, and it goes on. But, again, we're talking about sonatas and things like that and not stealing, which is a type of music, really. Theft can be. Anything can have a musicality to it or a rhythm. You know, life itself has a rhythm. And so I know it's a little off in a little bit here. Life has a rhythm, but it seems like it's in 7-4 or something. It's like, just when I think I'm getting going, well, there's an extra measure. It's like G.D. Spoon Man or something. It's like, I think I can't. I'm trying to hum along and clap along with your darn prog rock song of a life, but I just do not understand this time signature. Oh, it's very easy to understand. The first three measures are in 7-4, and then they're in 5-4, and then 4-4 for one measure, 8 measures of 3-4, and then we come back. And so we're so happy that you're here to, you're going to be able to play with us. Oh, man, I guess I actually have to go. I can't, as long as I can, I can only play the kind of music that, that you could be super, what's the word I want? You know, like you can barely function, but you can still play the music. That's the kind of, that's why a lot of musicians, I think, do substances, because you realize, like, man, I could be, you know, almost passed out and play lovely jazz. So I've tried not to do that, though. I like to stay alert. Sometimes I will have coffee if it's in the morning, and I know that's a drug. Or sometimes I will have these, I don't know, I call them Chinese amphetamines. I don't know what they are. But they're, I eat all those, and I get so much energy. Oh, my goodness, I wish. No, you can tell I'm not a terribly energetic person, actually. Anybody could yell. Old people in convalescent homes yell. That doesn't take any energy. You can be laying down and screaming at people. Get out of my room! Wow, Pops has so much energy today. He's a high-energy person. Not really. But then there's people that are quiet and they get a lot done. That is not me. If I get it just a little done, I have to let people know. And then there's all that time on social media telling them about what you did. And I don't mind that. I mean, I used to do that. And for me, it was phone calls before. So, hey, I just got to tell you this thing I did or it didn't happen. What? I know this is crazy, but I'd always wanted to, I drive by this dry cleaners all the time, and it says 12-hour Martin. I was like, I don't know what that is. So I went, I got screwed up my courage, and I went and I asked. And then you'd have to, if something like that happened in your life, right? Hey, I took the bus. Good for you. Then you'd call someone and share it. And there was always, sometimes there was a card. You could get a card that went with it. There were Hallmark, I don't want to single out a company, but Hallmark used to be very good at making a card for every occasion and also a TV movie. I don't know what TV they were broadcast on. There's so many. There's 48 million Hallmark, like family music movies. Christmas Hearth of Christmas Coming Home. Deborah Comes Home. I don't know. It's just that there's lots and lots. It's wonderful. And everyone has a corresponding card. Some of them are pop-ups. That's what a fantastic thing. I used to, I had a pop-up book, and it was a, you'd open it up, pop-up, and it was a castle. And then the castle was infested with earwigs. I don't know where we got the book. And I thought, they're just the people that live there, I thought. I didn't know that there was, there were bugs eating this book. This isn't a true story, but the image just came in my mind of a pop-up book where there's just nothing but insects that are consuming it. But the child thinks, oh, those are the little dwellers in the castle, pop-up castle, because it has an imagination. And that's what my show, I feel like, is. You've encountered a wonderful, magical kingdom, and you can't see that what's happening is that nature is just breaking it down. And that's what you're listening to. You're listening to the death of radio. And you go, this is interesting. Yes, but it's really what it is. It's maggots eating the decaying organic matter that is terrestrial radio. And I think it can be a wonderful, lovely thing. You know, David Lynch could find beauty in the grotesque a lot of times. He'd say, look at this. Look how disgusting this is. And say, oh, yeah, look, there's an ear, a human ear with ants all over it. Isn't that beautiful in a way? And you go, what way? So, well, I don't know. The color? I don't know. You know what I mean. But I have perhaps this show is a sort of grotesque thing that you feel a fascination. I tuned into your show, and I don't normally listen to garbage. But I was
I was fascinated because you said, consider listening to garbage or looking at it. And as a way of, I'm sorry, that's probably not how you sound. Well, the weird thing is it is. If it is, if I've nailed you like that, if I've done an incredibly accurate impression of you, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that. I'm not trying to mock or anything like that.
I love your show.
Who says, I don't know, one of you talks like that? That'd be fun, though. People speak in all sorts of ways, my goodness. And I'm for it. And make all sorts of sounds. Some people don't speak. Some people speak. Some people use other ways of communicating. It's all very beautiful to me because we're all, aren't we all just like semi-aware biological things trapped in a weird, grotesque, fleshy cell, a prison? And I see you in there. Your eyes are the barred windows of your cell in there. And you're, let me out. I can see you too. I agree with you. You don't want to get out. Because then there's nothing. That's the thing. That's the terrible thing about the prison. You spend all your time digging a tunnel, and then the end is just the end of your existence. But I don't know. That doesn't seem futile to me. I think banish the idea of futility. Oh, my goodness. That seems like based on a lie. Everything we're doing is futile. Well, let's just pretend it isn't, because I don't see where we're going there. Your whole futile thing. Now what then?
Well, I don't know. It's just pointless.
Pointless. Very good then. Now what?
Well,
here's my idea. So if it's pointless, that just means there's no point. I mean, we can just make any point. You know what I'm saying? It's like you say, oh, I bought this Pez dispenser, but it has no head. If you have one of those prize Pez dispensers with no head, you can make your own head for it. Imagine.
So what are you going to make?
I'm going to make Darren McGavin go, whenever he does that, the Pez comes out of his mouth. That's a Darren McGavin sound without saying any words. A lot of impressionists will do that. I'm not an impressionist. Well, it's one of my hobbies is impressionism. And is the painting or the vocal? All right, I'll get back to you. I don't know exactly. That's a good one. I'm glad I'm an amateur. I gotta look that up. I don't know whether my love of impressionism is painting or vocal imitating of familiar voices or speech patterns. I gotta look that up. That's very interesting because I like to do both. I like to dab paint, but I also like to speak utter nonsense into a microphone. And I don't require you to listen to me, but I beg of you to listen to me. Because what if I say something valuable? That's the thing about, say, oh, I don't listen to your type of speaking. And you say, why not? You seem like the person that wouldn't bid on an abandoned storage unit.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know what you're missing? So let's open up. Every one of my shows is an abandoned storage unit. All right? And then you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to show up and go through it. Sometimes, nothing. That's the thing. A lot of you don't like my show, like you like fishing. I don't see how it's any different. You know, occasionally, yes, you're going to reel in a big one. Say, gosh, it was entertaining this week. I sat through about 4 or 5 weeks of them, and then I got a big one. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. These things that give you every week you're going to get a big fish. I'd examine them. They're probably fake. I'm serious.
So there's a show I turn into, and I'm guaranteed a certain size bass every week. And it is.
No. I think, look at them. It's probably plastic. Or one of them. Okay, here's how you know. When you take that bass and you say something to it, does it wiggle and say it back to you in lo-fi? Because then you know it's not real.
I like this bass.
I like this bass.
Nope, that's a fake. That's a fake one. And a lot of people try to cheat in fishing tournaments.
They'll say, I got this fish. And they go, why is it attached to a plaque?
What? There's a wooden board on the nailed, it looks like it's nailed or glued to the fish.
No, but look, the fish is wiggling.
Oh, look, the fish is wiggling.
That's no proof. You know, you got to do better than that. Well, I have something I'm going to play for you shortly. I've composed a thing. And I'm sort of a composer. I'm both a decomposer and a poser. People made that joke about, I don't know, I think it was about the rotting corpse of Beethoven or something like that. People say, what's Beethoven doing now? And it's like, oh, he's desiccating? We're putrefying. No, he's decomposing. Oh, well, okay. Also, yes, that's true. He's doing one another. I don't know what happened to the remains of Beethoven. And that's something we may never know. I think they do know because they keep going to...
Let's look at his DNA again because I think he was deaf because he had syphilis
or something. They'll go, no, that wasn't it. They'll keep testing. Sometimes if they do have remains of people, they just can't get over it.
Now, let's look at it again. I think they're going to find something.
What? I don't know. Something about him. Well, just listen to the music.
I know, but
just leave him alone. Leave his old dead hair alone. We do that a lot. So it turns out we had some remains we dug up, and it turns out that Richard the Third's father is not really his grandfather or something. I don't care. I mean, I care about a lot of things, but I got to cut off caring at some point. And I think it would be about the dead who don't affect my life anymore. There's dead who do, and there's dead who don't. And let's see, who does? Who's somebody, who's a dead person that affects my life? Roy Kroc, is that his name? McDonald's guy, probably. I had some fries the other day from there. So he's still touching me, touching my life. What I have done, now you know, you've listened, if you've listened to the show, you know sometimes I will do sort of, I guess it's radio theater, based on a lot of like 70s detective shows. I don't want to say cop shows because the people I'm interested in were never cops. They were always people looking into what happened, but not law enforcement. So you have somebody like Banachek. He's an insurance investigator. He's one of the wealthiest of the investigators because he gets a percentage of whatever the insurance company saved, and it's in the millions. Now, I'm pretty sure this is what I think Scotty C. from Tennessee does this too, but I don't know that he's getting it. He's a lovely home, but I don't think he's no Banachek. But I don't, so this is a thing, and I like it. I like the kind of shows there. Columbo, obviously, is a good one. But one of the things I really enjoy about it are the things that aren't the dialogue and the story, just the sound elements of, screeching car wheels or the ocean or that paired with a certain type of music. Usually sort of like a funky kind of R&B, suspenseful. And I equate it with a sort of 70s TV noir that isn't noir. So I don't know what the word for it is. It's a color. I don't know. I'm going to coin something really interesting. But it's not dark. It's light crimey. And it's light problemy. I don't know. It's detective-y, but not, you know, in the grand tradition. So I'm not sure what it is, but I'm interested in how it sounds because a lot of times I put it on in the background and there's lots of action which has no dialogue that's just where the music is doing like 80% of the work and the foley. So I wanted to make something like that, and I was thinking, you know, there's a sort of sonata form which usually has three movements and to the four-act television show, and I could maybe experiment with that. And I put words in up to now, but now I'm thinking, does it need any dialogue at all? So I've been experimenting with that, and only on this radio station, and I really do mean that, only here and in countries where they make you have radio, where the government is like, you're having art. Okay, we don't really want it. There's not a lot of them left. But and then there's this place where you go, hey, you know what makes life better? The stuff that people think is weird that isn't really weird. It's just creative. Low, weird bar. Always been. The things I thought were weird when I was young, you know, then you actually get into a world of making art or something and you go, wow, almost nothing was weird, really. It's just so strange. If you've never been introduced to an idea, it can seem so alien. And they're all so wonderfully human and almost like traditionally so. So I think a lot of this things that seem unexpected to you are only because you have never been there before. It's always that way with foods when you're young. Mama, watch this.
This is a... Oh, that's not Mama.
Mama, watch this. This is a food that from... the foreign place that they made. Their neighbors are from another country, and they're introducing this food to us. Oh, it's delicious. What is it? It's bangers and mash. I don't know what country they're from. I know that didn't happen, really. So, a wonderful immigrant British family next door has brought us something.
They're not, I heard. They're actually Scottish. I don't know why you're calling them that.
I'm sorry.
But they brought us fried.
Fried what?
Everything.
That's good. That's delicious, though. I'm more for that. And so I'm bringing you the fried. I'm going to fry everything up for you. And I know that's not particularly healthy. Listen, all things in... Well, when I say moderation, I really mean excess and then deprivation, excess, then deprivation, excess, then deprivation. And if you do the... It averages out to moderation. So that's just over the course of a lifetime, be moderate, ultimately. So you say, well, I've been binging. I'm going to binge for 10 years and then 10 years of austerity. I'm going to purge my body for that. I'm not going to fast, but I'm going to drink lots of water. I'm going to try to take I'm going to take more bowel movements this year, I said. That was this year, I'm going to eat less, but poop more. I don't know how that's going to happen. So a lot of things, I'm going to have to eat things that aren't food. But I think that's all right. I think a lot of the healthier things are right on the border anyway. So I've held some, say, have this health salad. How much of it is food? A small enough percentage that you won't gain weight. Excellent. I found out when I was young, or I was told when I was young, and I'm not sure this is true, that some foods actually take more calories to digest than they give you in energy. Like what? Like cardboard cereal. I don't know exactly what. I thought like leafy vegetables. My neighbor used to bring over kale, and just by the truckloads, I've got all this kale. She was from Switzerland. And she said, I have kale for you, and take the kale. And she brings so much, and I'm saying, I'm just using this, it's biomass for things. I'm using it to, I'm firing a whole biomass plant. I'm generating electricity for half of the neighborhood by letting your kale rot in this huge drum. And then the heat turns a turbine. Isn't that interesting? I came up with that. That's how you take, if you've got like an overzealous neighbor gardener that just bringing you things that you don't. It's not that I don't like it. It's just they a lot of times will bring you more than you can use. Hunters will do that too.
So I just caught a deer. Oh, good for you. I'm bringing you half a deer.
I will never, even if I ate deer, how long is that going to take?
Well, you buy a cooler.
I'm not going to buy a chest freezer for your half a deer.
And I got bear. I got a whole bear for you.
I don't want that.
And an elk.
I don't want that.
You ought to get a truck, a refrigerator truck.
Yeah? What do they call those in CB lingo?
Reefer.
You say, I got you to say reefer.
Yeah,
refrigerator truck. I remember those when I was working at a store. We'd have to sometimes get deliveries of cheese in a big refrigerated truck. It wasn't a freezer, though. It was just refrigerated. So conceivably, you could live in there. I've been in people's houses where like that. So holy cow, boy, what do you spend on air conditioning? I like a chili. Yeah, but this is like, this is keep things fresh chili. So it doesn't need to be that cold. Oh gosh, I feel like so blessed. When I go off on a tangent, I forget where I am, and I look around, and you're still there. I think, what a blessing. Why are you still? You haven't abandoned me. No, get to the point. I know that's it sometimes. And I don't care. I love you so much, I don't mind whether it's just frustration that keeps you with me. And I promise there's usually some type of really very small, lovely, heartfelt payoff at some point in the show, whether it's I'm sharing my wisdom. And the reason I share it is because I don't need it. I've found wisdom unhelpful in a lot of instances. Oh, my goodness. What do you go with? I go with my heart. A lot of times if I try to think through something, you know, I do the wrong thing. And I don't mean go with my heart like my emotions. I just I try to use my moral compass. So I have a whole array of compasses. Have I told you this? So I have a moral compass. I have a aesthetic compass. I have all sorts of ones. I have a culinary compass. Would you like to eat some Western food with me? I would say. So, oh, let's eat Eastern tonight. How about Southern? So there's all sorts of compasses you can have to know where you're going and which way. And we call those the cardinal directions, the same way we say it's a cardinal sin. And that's putting an awful lot on that little red bird. I know, to represent all that and those people walking around in the Vatican. I call it the Vatican't. I don't know why. I have nothing against it. I just feel like it hasn't done much for me personally. I'm not a Catholic, but I enjoy some of their churches, just going, driving past them. I said, oh my goodness, look at the statue, because there's not a lot of statuary. The Baptists aren't throwing up a lot of statues. And if they did, they'd probably be politicians or something. So I don't, he's like, oh, what's that got to do with religion? Shut up! I'm sorry, not all Baptists. So I don't any religion. All religions are fine with me. Why? Because I'm nobody and I don't care. I'm not going to tell you what to do. My goodness. I will say this. I love a good bulletin. I love a good bulletin. I love when they give you something to read other than having to watch whatever's going on. And I feel that way with theater, opera, children's high school award ceremonies. Give me a thing I can look at, because I can't, phone doesn't feel appropriate. But if you're sitting there and you're in James and the Technicolor Peach, and you're going like, and I'm just going to go through the program. I'm going to do anagrams with all the names of the people who are in it. And instead of watching. So I do need a little program like that, and I would love it. I wish there was one for this show. I ought to do one as a premium. What a great marathon we had. I'm not supposed to mention it. Am I? I can't remember what the rules are. Don't say anything about the marathon. Don't tell anybody we had it. There was a silent, we used to call the silent fundraiser in the fall. We'd call either silent fundraiser or something. We don't call it that anymore. We call it Hell Death. Hell Death something. Because that's the season of death, isn't it? Winter and everything. When everything is dying and perishing. And then it's a wonderful analogy. We go, everything is dying, just like the station. It's not dying, you know, decaying. Everything is in a state of constant decay. And what do we need to keep it going? Money and medicine. I don't know what radio medicine is, but we need it. Please inject it. Shoot that right into my veins. What? Medicine? Yeah, that's where it goes. Okay. That's good then. I have not played. I haven't even played this segment because I'm going to play it and then we talk about it. Then I'm going to play it again when I talk over it. Then I'm going to play it a third time because I'm trying to be more like Teletubbies. And I just remember watching that with children and there'd be a good segment. And then everybody would, you hear like, again, again. That's the voice of the audience. So I'm going to think maybe you're out there going like, play that again, 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 again. And DJs, think that maybe with your songs. I would say people can't memorize a song on that first hearing. Play everything a couple times in a row. And I know you've done that as like jokes. We had a thing where we played nothing but, REO Speedwagon's. It was a deep cut. Shutters and Magnolia. I made that up. And we played it 400 times. Not that. I just mean like Teletubbies, they'd show a little clip of a young child showing off their tap shoes in their garden. And she'd be like, tap shoes in my garden. Like that. And then you'd watch it. Say, how did you remember that, Hardy? Because they played it 3 times. That's how it works. That's how the human memory works. Is you got to have it drilled in there. You got to hear it a bunch of times. That's the only way I was ever able to memorize the beginning of 99 Luftballons, which I did in German class because we got a mimeograph of it. And that's really the only thing I learned. I'm going, this I'm going to learn because this is fun. This is on the radio now. What was going on now was current events. And so I learned it. And then the other stuff, not so much. I remember, though, there was a language video in German class, and it was two old ladies who were renting out an apartment, and they were both looking down the street, and they were going, I'm going to get my German wrong, but they were going, Ein junger Mann, komm! It was like, a young man's coming. And I'm like, this is weird. What's this one going to be? So that's all I remember. And see, I didn't get the German right. But if someone said it to me, I'd know. So if two old ladies yelled at me, a young man's coming, I'd be like, I know what you're saying. Old German ladies, ma'ams. I know what you're saying, Frauen. God bless us all. I wish there was a sort of, and there is now, we can speak to each other. There is a sort of tower or Babel's gone and we have these language things and everyone can speak to each other and it's a nightmare. So, oh no, I had no idea that's what you thought. So I think let's go back to Babel. That was a good idea. I don't think even families living together should all speak the same language. I think it'd be easier if every day you were gesticulating wildly to make yourself understood to your family. And I think that's the way it is anyway in my house, Hardy. I know, don't you know it? Don't you know it?
Thank you.
There's an old silent film. No, it's not a silent film. It's an old black and white film. It's a talkie. And I think it was made in the 30s, and it's kind of a parody. It's a short film, and it's called Tomato is Another Day. And it's sort of a joke about how it was the beginning of talkies, you know, and it's kind of a joke about how the dialogue and the sound is redundant. So all the characters are sort of commenting on the things they're doing. So a woman is sitting there looking sad, going like, I'm so sad. Oh, my lover is here. I am entering. That kind of thing. So they're saying, you know, the things that they're doing as a way of drawing attention to the fact that maybe introducing sound in films is unnecessary. So what are they? Let's hear with them talking. Hello. That's the thing, you know. It's it didn't introduce, and that happened. Silent film stars, you know, they open their mouth and they sound like David Lander. It's that squeaky. So, yes, the answer is, I have just made a thing that has no dialogue in it, and I was hoping that it sounded like an adventure. You know, those old shows, they have people doing, they say, what are these creeping around looking for stuff? And he doesn't need to be saying, yeah, see, I'm creeping around looking through drawers. You can just hear it or see it or whatever. And I think a lot of times, you know, music used to expect that. So we'd say, this is the whatever sonata, the boat sonata. And you go, yes, I feel like I'm on a boat. The tempo changes from one act, one movement to the next. And it sort of has ups and downs like that. And sometimes there's careful listening. Sometimes it's very loud, that kind of thing. So we go in and out of the space with our ears. And I think that's a wonderful thing to do. We don't always need to know what's happening. Oh, my goodness, in these confusing days. Say, I can't tell anything that's happening. Well, it's kind of always like that, you know? It's really an art to sort of go through life accepting how much you don't know and can't control without being sort of defeatist. So how do you strike a nice balance? Well, I don't know. Let's explore that idea through sound. There, did that help? I think so. Now I understand. I think it is a way to do that. You have to explore a lot of different avenues to find a street, is the old expression. Because at the end of some of those avenues is just another building. And this one doesn't go all the way through. All right, back up. Let's try another avenue. And then eventually we will get a layout of the city. Now, we could just fly up straight up in the air. But I don't want to do that. I don't know how that's done. And sometimes if all your thinking is based on like metaphors like that, I translated it into one thing and I can't bring it back to reality. It happens to me all the time. So that's why I like to be with you, my friend, and say, now I've heard a lot from you from the marathon. Say, Hardy, it's so great to hear your voice you give me. It's not exactly hope. It's more like Crosby, whatever. I give you Crosby. And why not hope? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I think hope, you got to have a vision. And I think a lot of us are just like, well, surprise me, but in a good way. And often you do have to know kind of what you want. It's like, you know, ordering food. You know, can we narrow it down? And then once you do, you say, well, how about just going forward, friends, you and I, let's envision at least a salad, some type of salad. And then I think we can, let's go from there. It could be any type, but at least let's say that. That's what we want for one another, for ourselves, is a salad. It might be something we can all agree on. We can change what it is. So, I don't like lettuce. Salad doesn't have to be lettuce. Could be anything, like liver. Is that a salad? I don't know, man. There's chicken salad, all sorts of salads. Go over there, you got a cold cut up steak on your Thai salad. So who knows what a salad is. And then they use it for days. Say, that's your salad days. I go, I don't know. I don't think so. I think that was my amuse-bouche days. That was pre-salad days. A lot of parts to a meal. A meal can begin even before you get to the table. There's meals that are so formal that there's like pre kind of appetizers, just stuff you do to your mouth. Like, you know, you've said like they bring you like a sherbet, like a lime sherbet to sort of palate cleanse, and then maybe an amuse-bouche, which is very tiny. It's like an appetizer that you need a magnifying glass for or something. And then, but before that, before the lime sherbet, I was at a fancy dinner party where they prepare your mouth sonically. So they put, they clean it out. They put like a little speaker in your mouth and it's 20s crooner music. So you put this little speaker in your mouth and you're, my time is your time. And you got this Rudy Valley in my mouth. And then it does feel like cleansing in a way. And then they do some other stuff. They'll put a piece of paper with a word on it and you don't get to know what the word is, and you just keep it on your tongue for a minute and pull it out, it's not acid. They tell you that. They joke about it. It's just the word. So let's say the word is leaf or something. You have that in there, and your mouth is ready for something more abstract. And it's just all this very subtle. We don't think of like a really fancy meals having all these subtle aspects, but they do. A lot of times I find out I'm the only person that is telling people about this. But I do believe a lot of things that I don't know whether you know this, but we're down to now just one fork, one knife, maybe a spoon, often plastic, wrapped in plastic. Wrapped in plastic. Our utensils are Laurel Palmer. So basically. But back in the day, they would have flatware is silverware that's not silver. So they'd have flatware and so many, or even with silver, so many forks and spoons out to either side, almost infinite, so that your plate was sort of a point on an infinite line. And in either direction, there was, on one side, there were forks going out to your left in infinity. And then on the right, spoons in smaller, ever diminishing sizes going out on your right infinitely. And then right next to you, one knife. You say, well, what if I need another? They bring it. That's the thing with the knives. That's so funny. All the forks are laid out there. So this was a fork. So we're having shrimp genitals, and you'll need a very tiny fork to get them off. So, but then if you're having something larger, so did you get the, I got the horse's ass. Okay, well, they bring you a special knife for that. All right, great, fantastic. And they'll bring you the big Argentinian meat knife separately with a holster a lot of times, which is so fun. I'll get that just to have it. Sometimes if you order a whole block, I was at a restaurant and I said, I would like a whole wheel of Parmesan. It's hundreds of dollars. It's for the whole table. But if you order the whole wheel of Parmesan, they bring out that big knife that's got two handles on it, and it rocks back and forth. Cut it right. Oh, it's fun. We didn't even make a dent in it. We took most of it home, or wheeled most of it home. And the fun thing is a friend made a sort of Flintstones-inspired car with four full wheels of Parmesan cheese. It's fantastic. It's, well, it lasts because it's aged. So those wheels, those Parmesan wheels on that car, oh my gosh, they lasted for a long time now, thinking back. It was Parmesan Reggiano. It might have been the Vache Rosa. So I don't know. It was expensive Parmesan. It was good stuff. Anyway. Oh my God, wheels of cheese. You can't. Hardy, you were kidding me. Well, so what? My goodness, I think we're, a lot of times, you know, we're being, no one's saying they're kidding us. They just want us to believe all sorts of things. I'm saying don't believe even the true things I'm saying. That'll make life more fun. I think you should go through life thinking some true things aren't, you know. Like what? Oh, Pop-Tarts aren't food. That's not worth thinking. You know? Sometimes just let yourself have some fun. Not everything has to be perfect. Your body is it's a temple, but it's a temple where you should let groups from the community come in and have their clubs there or what have you. So your body is a temple, but on Monday nights, you should use your body temple rec room for pickleball. So I think that's great. Oh my gosh, you know, you're crazy about pickleball. But something I am just nuts about, and I just want to spend a few minutes talking about, is Coconut Shy. I don't know if you know this game. Oh my gosh, Coconut Shy. We have set up a whole Coconut Shy thing. We've got these posts And we got the special coconuts are special. And the thing that you throw at them and everything, we got these bean bags. They're not hacky sack bean bags. They're not cornhole bean bags. They're specially made for coconut shy. But we love it, and we have a coconut shy league here. Now, it is inspired by the British Fair Game, and the British are fair game, at least comedy-wise, as far as I'm concerned. So I've encountered it in a couple. I saw it in Murder, She Wrote Lady. Was in a Agatha Christie movie that's really poorly lit. So I couldn't, the cracked up mirror or something, I couldn't watch it all. But they had a fair scene and they were playing Coconut Shy. And I was like, my goodness, I could almost watch this movie just for that. But again, it was so poorly lit. I mean, not poorly lit, not underlit, just like washed out, looking terrible. So, this Coconut Shy was also came up in a Squeeze song. And, so he was singing one of them, Differ to the Tilbrook. I can't tell the differ. He said, she poses foot on a chair, Coconut Shy, but Vanity Fair. And I was looking, I said, is Vanity Fair another type of game? And I read this whole dang book, thinking it was the rule book, and it's not. It's so dull and dumb. So the only good thing there is that the game is fun now. So I don't know where to get the coconuts. On our FAQ, on our Coconut Shy FAQ, on Coconut Shy, on our website, there was a question saying, can I use the kind of coconuts that have a pirate face carved on them? No. Why? Well, I feel like there's a lack of, coconuts are as they are, there's a lack of uniformity. But once you start carving a pirate face on them, their uniqueness increases 10,000-fold. And, it's the same thing with, if I said, bring some apples, and you go, well, some of them are dried up apple people faces. No, I can't use them. I have did you ever have dried up apple face pie? It's a Southern thing. After you're done, say, oh, that dried up apple face looks like old granny. We'll get them all together, and then we let them soak in Karo syrup for a month, and we make a pie. And that sounds... That almost sounds true. I'd be good on one of them British lying shows. There's these shows where somebody comes on, they say something fanciful, and then it really upsets David Mitchell or something. They go, you're lying! Like that, and he gets, it's a frequency that I can't always abide, but like that. I'm stuck there! And then he's sarcastic using that voice. And it hurts, but I think it's worth, why? Because you think what is a lie? Or why do I even care? That's the thing that I don't understand. I want to write into that show. Dear British game show things, why do you even care? Just let people tell the funny story and we all laugh and we all move on. This whole guessing whether it really happened or not. I don't know. I don't get off on that. But that's everything. Bless everybody's idea of what's interesting or fun. I know my show isn't for everybody. And to use an expression, that's not my cuppa. And you go, oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was. No, my cuppa, I have the handle turned the other way because I got mouth sores. Oh, I'm glad I didn't use your cuppa. Yeah, use your own cuppa. Oh, my goodness. We're nearing the end of the hour. How's that a whole hour? And you're thinking, I wasted a whole hour. Nothing's wasted, friend. A lot of times when you think you're not wasting time, you are, your degree. That's never going to, I'm never going to waste as much time as you did in school, probably. So think about that and how much you could gain information, what you do with that information. You don't have to have, listen, a lot of us want some kind of imprimatur, want some kind of degree or badge or something that says you are this or you have done that. Say, I am this. Yes, but you don't need that. Oh, just go through life saying, I can't pin anything on me. I'm a lovely ghost. I'm flexible. I am no one thing. Don't pin me down. Do I contradict myself? Yes, because part of me is Walt Whitman. Which part? That little part of, just part of my beard. That's it. The rest of me is me and other things. But one part is Walt Whitman, and he's like, if I've contradicted myself, you need to, and he had some harsh language. You pompous stevedore, he'd say, to his shirtless object of his gaze. Oh, my goodness. I love you, and I say that, I don't say that lightly. I do, as a human that you're alive, I think you're deserving of love. And I can't discount you. Oh, my goodness, I've made so many horrible decisions in my life. We're just horrible decision machines, aren't we? And I just want to support you and be here for you and say I recognize your struggle. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online, WFMU.org. Did I say New York City in Rockland County? New York City in Rockland County, and online, WFMU.org. Oh, my goodness, my friends. I am so glad to be with you every week, and you have made this year's marathon so wonderful, and you have been generous. And I just want to look through my romper room mirror and say, thank you, I see you, all of you. I don't want to say any one name, but you know, I know who you are, and I appreciate you and love you.
Twins name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins name was Ebony.
Thank you.